car with its moldy silken ribbon and its worn screws, and the dented horn with faded tassels and cord, were put away in the lumber room in the attic, and the dust settled inches deep on the long, iron-bound violin boxes. Yet the less little Ruster had to do with flute and music pen, so much the more must he turn to the brandy flask. And at last he became quite a drunkard. It was a great pity. He was still received at the manor houses as an old friend, but there were complaints when he came and joy when he went. There was an odor of dirt and brandy about him, and if he had only a couple of glasses of wine or one toddy, he grew confused and told unpleasant stories. He was the torment of the hospitable houses. One Christmas he came to Lofdala, where Liljekrona, the great violinist, had his home. Liljekrona had also been one of the pensioners at Ekby, but after the death of the major's wife, he returned to his quiet farm and remained there. Ruster came to him a few days before Christmas, in the midst of all the preparations, and asked for work. Liljekrona gave him a little copying to keep him busy. "You ought to have let him go immediately," said his wife. "Now he will certainly take so long with that, that we will be obliged to keep him over Christmas."
"He must be somewhere," answered Liljekrona. And he offered Ruster toddy and brandy, sat with him, and lived over again with him the whole Ekby time. But he was out of spirits, and disgusted by him, like everyone else, although he would not let it be seen, for old friendship and hospitality were sacred to him. In Liljekrona's house for 3 weeks now, they had been preparing to receive Christmas. They had been living in discomfort and bustle, had sat up with dip lights and torches till their eyes grew red, had been frozen in the outhouse with a salting of meat, and in the brewhouse with the brewing of beer. But both the mistress and the servants gave themselves up to it all without grumbling. When all the preparations were done, and the holy evening come, a sweet enchantment would sink down over them. Christmas would loosen all tongues, so that jokes and jests, rhymes and merriment, would flow of themselves without effort. Everyone's feet would wish to twirl in the dance, and from memory's dark corners words and melodies would rise, although no one could believe that they were there. And then everyone was so good, so good. Now when Ruster came, the whole household at Lofdala thought that Christmas was spoiled. The mistress and the older children and the old servants were all of the same opinion. Ruster caused them a suffocating disgust. They were, moreover, afraid that when he and Liljekrona began to rake up the old memories, the artist's blood would flame up in the great violinist, and his home would lose him. Formerly, he had not been able to remain long at home. No one can describe how they loved their master on the farm, since they had had him with them a couple of years. And what he had to give, how much he had to give, how much he was to his home, especially at Christmas. He did not take his place on any sofa or rocking stool, but on a high, narrow wooden bench in the corner of the fireplace. When he was settled there, he started off on adventures. He traveled about the earth, climbed up to the stars and even higher. He played and talked by turns, and the whole household gathered about him and listened. Life grew proud and beautiful when the richness of that one soul shone on it. Therefore they loved him as they loved Christmas time, pleasure, the spring sun. And when little Ruster came, their Christmas peace was destroyed. They had worked in vain if he was coming to tempt away their master. It was unjust that the drunkard should sit at the Christmas table in a happy house and spoil the Christmas pleasure. On the forenoon of Christmas Eve, little Ruster had his music written out, and he said something about going, although of course he meant to stay. Liljekrona had been influenced by the general feeling and therefore said quite lukewarmly and indifferently that Ruster had better stay where he was over Christmas. Little Ruster was inflammable and proud. He twirled his mustache and shook back the black artist's hair that stood like a dark cloud over his head. What did Liljekrona mean? Should he stay because he had nowhere else to go? Oh, only think how they stood and waited for him in the big ironworks